Movement has the biggest deals of the holiday season and the sleekest watches around, whether you're gifting for family, friends, or yourself. Shop 30 to 60% off Movement's variety of designs, colorways, and functionalities. From the thinnest automatic dress watch under $500 to waterproof guarantee adventure-ready sport watches to rare ceramics. Be the good gifter this year. Shop 30 to 60% off now at Movement.com and enjoy fast and free shipping. That's MVMT.com.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
This is the blueprint, put in my two cents. You in need of empowerment, we got the evidence, it's evident. All over these airways, we heaven sent. Taking over your residence, to guide you through, got the immaculate. Dr. Z, and you know we got SSG bright. All the way in H-time, these Houston Rockets take flight. Put us on tonight, yeah, get your mindset right. What you talking about? Everything gon' be alright. We talk about self-care, technology, self-love, spirituality, stacking bread, inner peace, innovation, tranquility. Slow it down, pass it round. The Empowerment Blueprint Podcast. The Empowerment Blueprint Podcast. The Empowerment Blueprint Podcast. The Empowerment Blueprint Podcast. Tune in. This is the blueprint. Put in my two cents. You in need of empowerment? We got the evidence. This is the blueprint. Put in my two cents. You in need of empowerment? We got the evidence. It's evident. The Empowerment Blueprint Podcast.
All right. Welcome to the Empowerment Blueprint Podcast. We got an amazing episode for you tonight. Our topic is going to be about the Bible. Whoa. Yeah. It's going to be the Bible heroes and their modern day counterparts. We're going to go over lessons from biblical characters for today's leaders and influencers. So it's going to be an exciting night. Every single time we have a Bible podcast, it's just the best. And we'll have SSG Bright take it over for us with the prayer so we can get started.
All right. Hello, everybody. How you doing? Let's get started. SSG Bright here. Let's pray. Dear Father, all praises to the Most High, our Father who exists, our God who is freedom, our God of our forefathers and our foremothers. We give you calendrical thanks. We give you elevating glory. We give you omnificent honor, praise, and worship. Lord, we just ask that you have mercy on us, Lord, and strengthen us. Keep us surrounded in your love and care, and help us, Lord, just to pour out a message to these young adults that will be beneficial for your service, Lord. And we do so by the way of our provider, the ransom, the good news, our mediator, the remedy. Lord, you see us sick, Lord. We need the remedy. The advocate, the Lamb of God, the Son of David, Lord, in which we all call, in which the world called Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right.
All right, let's get started.
All right.
So I'm going to start with my first two, my modern day counterpart to the Bible hero. And I am doing women. I know you got the men down on lock for us, but
this sounds like it's going to be a very hot topic.
Oh, yeah.
So, and, as ordinary, you know, we suggest that you get your tissues. your libations together, your pencil and paper, take notes, get comfortable, relax, strap on your seat belts, because it's going to be a hot time in the old town tonight.
Oh, let me get my drink here. All right, I got my drink.
And as always, we want to bring you some news that you can use.
Listen to that. Ooh, crisp. All right. So I chose Wonder Woman. Now, you know, I'm a superhero fan. So
yeah, kamikaze, whatever they call it.
Kamikaze.
Oh,
Lord.
Kamikaze.
Well, you know, you have your different heroes. It's not just, you're calling it Comic-Con, but I'm trying to think of the name of them.
Oh, I don't know. I just heard it.
Heroes. So you got your Marvel characters. Then you do have, let me see what the other ones are called. I know Marvel is one of them.
DC Comics?
DC. That's the other one.
Yeah.
And you said Comic-Con. I'm like, huh? You're thinking about going to Comic-Con.
I don't know. I thought it was related to superheroes, but I guess that's a costume party, I guess.
Well, you go dress up as your favorite superhero, whoever you're going to dress up. That's Comic-Con.
Oh,
anyway. Yeah. I know what you were saying. But anyway,
I barely knew what I was saying.
I know, huh? But let me go over my match with Wonder Woman is Deborah. You know who Deborah is in the Bible?
I heard of her.
Okay. So she's the prophetess and the judge from the book of Judges. So that's Judges 4-5.
4-5. Let me write that down. Go ahead. Okay.
And Wonder Woman and Deborah, they both embody leadership, strength, wisdom, and warrior spirit in their respective stories. So, you know, I'm big on those women that are warriors. Even the, you know, I'm Dr. Z and I'm named after a warrior, you know, that was a queen.
Yeah, Queen Zenobia. Yeah.
So,
Primera.
Yeah. So I'm big on the women that are warriors, you know, and how Wonder Woman and Deborah aligns is the leadership and authority that they both have. Deborah, she's a judge in Israel in the Bible, and Deborah was a leader and a counselor, and she guided her people both spiritually and militarily. So she was really a warrior, and she commanded the army of Israel to victory over Sisera through her wisdom and faith in God. So Wonder Woman, which is Diana, she's a leader among the Amazon women, and she often leads in battles, relying on her strategic mind and compassion and sense of justice to lead her. So those two, Deborah and Wonder Woman, have leadership and authority, and that's the reason why I chose those two. Also, they both have a warrior spirit. Deborah, through not directly fighting, but she inspires and strategizes a victorious battle for her people, showing immense courage and in standing up to the oppressors of her people in the Bible. And Wonder Woman is the same. As a trained Amazonian warrior. I'm sorry, let me give me a sip. Okay, excuse me. As a trained Amazonian warrior, Diana physically engages in combat to protect humanity and fight for peace. So they both have that warrior spirit, and that's the reason why I once again chose these two. Also, they have faith and purpose. Deborah in the Bible, with her unwavering faith in God, she motivates her actions and decisions, giving her the strength to lead Israel in the times of turmoil. And Wonder Woman, while not tied to a specific religion, She is deeply driven by her moral compass, and her beliefs in the goodness of humanity is rooted in her Amazonian upbringing. So they both have that big faith and purpose embedded into them. Also, they both have empowerment and justice with them. Deborah in the Bible, she's a symbol of empowerment. And, you know, that's big for us. That's why I chose her also. Deborah, she's defied, she defied the social and societal norms of her time. So she went against that. She stood up against that, showing that women could lead and deliver justice. And, you know, back in those days, you know, women weren't leaders, you know, but she showed that and proved that she can empower women and prove that women do deserve justice. And Wonder Woman, she's the same. She too represents empowerment for women, often serving as a role model for breaking gender stereotypes and standing up for equality and justice. So Wonder Woman was the perfect match. That's why I chose her, to match her with Deborah in the Bible. And I can say, just imagine if Wonder Woman was in a biblical setting as Deborah, she would wield her lasso of truth as a symbol of divine wisdom, and her bracelets could represent her faith and protection, reminding others to trust in God's power, you know. And she also inspired warriors like, you know, people of our time to rise up with courage, taking on the oppressors with strategy and moral convictions. So if Wonder Woman was in the Bible, she'd be your bad one. So stand up for our people. So that's the reason why I chose her. And those are the first two that I chose. What do you think about those?
Yeah, those are great. Like Deborah, like Angela Davis, back in the late 60s, Black Panther movement and stuff, that stood up for the people.
But Wonder Woman did the same. That's why I picked her as the match, you know, for the modern day comparison. I mean, you could have chose anyone to be a modern day comparison, but I specifically chose those two because they really had a lot in common when it came to empowerment, justice, faith, purpose, and having that war spirit in them to provide leadership and authority for their people.
So, right. And you talked about Deborah. You said anyone can be used to have that power, like you just said. Mm-hmm. And Deborah was working through God. So God, he can use anyone, the base of people, to accomplish his mission.
She was she was a leader and a counselor, guiding her people both spiritually and militarily. So not only did she guide them with wisdom and faith in God, but she also commanded the army in Israel over a victory in a war. So she was, that's pretty much how Wonder Woman is, you know.
And it goes to show you that God can use people. Use Deborah, and Wonder Woman was used by her God, you know, to be triumphant.
Yep.
That's right. All sheets and blankets. That's good. I like that.
So who do you have?
I got, let me see. We have some characters out the Bible. Okay, we're going to do some, I'm going to do some constructive comparison to today's world leaders to show you some lessons from the Bible, you know, like I say, with the ancient world leaders and the today's world leaders.
All right, take it away. I'm listening.
All sheets and blankets. All right, here we go. We're going to talk about Pharaoh, king of Egypt, Cyrus the Great, Nebuchadnezzar, Netanyahu, Trump, maybe Putin. We'll see. So my first point would be, let's talk about Trump right quick. God allowed Trump to be elected as president. God chose Trump, and I'm going to prove it in the Bible scriptures. Okay, I got the Bible scripture in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, verse 17. It says, this matter is by decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones. a decree is an ordinance, commandments, some statutes. So the watchers are the prophets, and the holy ones are the angels. Okay, so I'm going to read on. To the intent that the living may know, it says, to an intent the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man. So what we all may understand is that God ruleth in the kingdom of men. He's ruling, and the things that you see happening in Europe, America, in the kingdom of men, it's all happening. God is the one behind all these things that's going on in Israel, going on in China, North Korea. God is the one that's behind it all. He is the one that is ruling the kingdom of men, because see, all these leaders right now are men, but he's ruling them. Okay. And also saying in the second verse, it says, and giving it to whoever so he will, saying that, and he is going to give the kingdom of men to whoever so he wills. Whoever wants to be president, he's going to make that person president. Just like you said, Deborah, whoever is sitting in that seat where Deborah at, or a Wonder Woman, God is behind it, and he's going to help them prevail. Okay, so he's going to make, so whoever wants to be president, he's going to make that person president. Why? Because in the book of Isaiah, chapter 46, verse 10, God said why. He said, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done. My counsel, God said, his counsel shall stand. So God says that his counsel is going to stand, meaning what he determines to happen is going to happen. Meaning what he wants to happen is going to happen. What prophecies that he spoke about is going to come to pass. His counsel is going to stand. So now let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 4, verse 17. It says, let's go back there. It says, this matter is by the decree, which I just read, of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whosoever he will. So that's saying that he gives it to whosoever he will. So that's why I said God made Trump president. Because God can give whoever's sitting in that seat, God can make you president. So right now, Trump is the most powerful man on earth. And who put him there? God put him there. So just saying that God, whoever sits in that seat, God has a hand in it, because we already know the scripture that says God knows the beginning from the end. So God did that. And my second point will be, let's talk about Pharaoh. Pharaoh is the king of Egypt. Okay. And he was dealing with Moses and them when Moses and them was saying, let my people go. But Pharaoh did not want to let them go. So we want to say the same thing, that God's in control, and God's whoever's sitting in the seat of power, God is using these folks. So my second point is Pharaoh in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, verse 17. So the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men. That's what we're talking about. So wherever these men, women who are ruling, God has a hand to it. So it says, I'm going to read on, 17. And set it up over the basis of men, and set it up over the basis of men. That means over the earth. To rule the earth, he set up a power over it to the basis of men. So it's the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 27, 26, verse 7. It says, God has chosen the base, the people that are spies, the people that are said to be worthless to establish or accomplish his goal. So that's what that's saying. So the word base, what does word base mean? It says, and set up over it, that's the earth, the basis of man. So what does the word base mean, Doc? What does the word base mean? The basis of men and women.
Foundation.
The foundation, or the lowest, right? The lowest foundation. So it says, meaning, the lowest of men. So that's the base of man. So saying that it gives the base of man leader or charge over the world. Just like God say, he has the wise to confound the weak, to confound the strong. And then it says God has the foolish to confound the wise. So those are the base of man to establish his mission. So base means the lowest of men. So
from the ground up, from the bottom up.
From the bottom, from what I come from the bottom, going to the top. Okay, so Trump may have billions of dollars, but guess what? He's the basis of man. You heard the recording of him talking about grabbing them by the Fuskinskis. And he was also sued for sexual harassment or forcing himself on someone. Yeah, this dude Trump is the basis of man. God chooses the basis of man, not the people who are high up there.
That means that that's just somebody that's a normal person that became a person in power.
So the basis of man is just a normal person. And you see what he did. Talking about grabbing a body from the stickings. You know, that's the base. A base person would do that. So this guy is the basis man who God set up to rule the earth. Trump, basis of man. Joe Biden, basis of man. Kamala Harris's basis of women. Okay, so I got another proverb that connects to that. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. In the book of Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, the king's heart, that means whoever's sitting in that seat is a leader, Putin, so Trump when he get in office, North Korea, leaders, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. So the Bible say that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. That's why you have to understand, meaning that the king's mind is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers, okay, the second, let's see, we're still on that chapter number one, verse one. It says, as the rivers of the waters, God turns it whichsoever way he will. So God will turn the king's heart to whatever he wanted to do. The same thing that's what he did to Pharaoh. That's the same thing he did to Pharaoh. Remember what he did with Pharaoh? He hardened Pharaoh's heart. He said, Pharaoh, because Moses and them wanted to go, but he wouldn't let my people go. So the Pharaoh said, so God said, Pharaoh, because see, God, right, has the king's heart in his hand. So he said, Pharaoh, don't let them go, Pharaoh. Don't let them go. Not just yet, Pharaoh. For he said that for a whole antiquity minute. So he's feeling himself. He thinks he's doing it. Pharaoh thinks that he got the green light, you know, to let the people go or not. But I believe that Pharaoh sees all these plagues. Because remember, a lot of plagues came on Pharaoh in Egypt. So he's seen all those plagues, and he said, oh, man, doggone it. I better let these people go. But God had hardened his heart. God was whispering in Pharaoh's ear, don't let them go, Pharaoh. You better not let them go, Pharaoh. So God put him through all them plagues just because God wants to show his power, God's power. Then when he let them go, when Pharaoh let them go, God said, yo, go get them, Pharaoh. Why did you let them go? Then Pharaoh said, damn, why did I let them go? Let's go kill them. Let's go kill them all. Then the Lord drowned Pharaoh and his men, all of them. God was there in Pharaoh's heart. That's what it means when it says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. So when you hear Trump talking all that crazy stuff, he be talking, guess what? It's God behind all of that. God. So it says, as the rivers of the water, he turneth, God's turneth, whichsoever way he will. And as the river of the water, God can turn a king's heart to do whatever he wants him to do. Whatever he wants him to do. So I hope that's some news that you can use. And we're just using some constructive comparison to show you about the leaders of old that are equivalent to the leaders of today. And it's also Bible prophecy in Revelations talking about the same things. And you just have to do your research on that.
Yep, it's the leaders from the Bible that are compared. Well, basically, you just get a leader from the Bible and you compare them to a modern day leader of today.
Right. And
it's just that simple. Right. I mean, it takes some work and some research, but it could be done.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Reading is fundamental.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a third person. You want to go, Doc? Or you want me to go with the third person?
Well, we're supposed to do...
two. You do two. You do two. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, let me do my last two.
Okay.
Then I'll take you back over.
All right.
Yeah, we at the 30-minute mark just about, so we're doing pretty good.
All right.
Well, let's see. My next one is going to be Superwoman and Esther. I know you know Esther.
Yeah, Queen Esther.
Yep, she's the queen who saved her people in the book of Esther. And her and Superwoman, they both exemplify bravery, sacrifice, and a deep sense of purpose to protect others. So those two are some amazing women that have a lot in common. Even at great personal risk, you know, they have the might in their spirit and their soul and bravery and sacrifice in them. To protect their people and others. And when it comes to Esther and Superwoman, they both have that courage in the face of danger within them. Specifically, Esther, she risks her life by approaching King Xerxes without being summoned. And knowing it was the only way to save her people from annihilation, she risked her life approaching him. And Superwoman, she just consistently puts herself in harm's way to protect humanity, regardless of the threat or the personal cost. She's, you know, the woman version of Superman, which is one of my favorite superheroes. And you know, if you know Superman, you know Superwoman is just the female version, and she'll do whatever it takes to save the people and humanity.
Superwoman.
Yep. And you know that Superman and Superwoman identity, you know, that's
Clark
related Clark. to the Prince of Peace.
Oh, okay.
Now, another thing that Esther and Superwoman have in common is Esther, she lived a dual life as a Jewish woman, and she hid her identity while she was serving as the queen. Ultimately, she revealed her true self to fulfill her mission. So Superwoman is pretty much the same. She has a dual identity also. You know, she's Superwoman by night and she has a regular job in the daytime, a 9-to-5, like right. Modern day normal people. So that's right. Why I chose her. And Superwoman, she just balances her life as a regular individual, like I said, with the role as a superhero. And she uses her she hides her identity. So she uses her hidden identity to protect those she loves. So, you know, when you're a superhero by night and a regular person by day, you got to hide your identity, because not only is it going to be paparazzi and fans, but just everybody's going to be watching. And you have to watch out to protect your family from those evildoers and those villains also, you know. So another thing about the two, Esther and Superwoman, is they both have strength and power. And Esther, she used her position of power not for personal gain, but to advocate for and save her people, showing wisdom and compassion. And Superwoman pretty much did the same. You know, she thought she wielded immense power, and she uses that immense power selflessly to defend the vulnerability and uphold justice, embodying you know, the same traits that Esther has. It's the position of power for personal gain, but to advocate for both her people and showing wisdom and compassion. So Superwoman has the same traits. Also, another thing that I found in the research is that they both have faith and destiny in common. And, you know, that's all about the Bible, faith and destiny. Esther in the Bible, she acted with the belief that she was chosen for such a time as this, trusting in the divine providence to guide her actions. So she trusted in God to guide her. And Superwoman, she's pretty much the same, as she often acts out of deep sense of destiny and responsibility to use her powers for good, driven by a moral and ethical purpose. So she pretty much allows God to guide her too in making her decision to save people and humanity. Now, if Superwoman was Esther, her counterpart in the Bible, if she was her, imagine Superwoman in the biblical context. She would use her superhuman abilities, like the flight, the strength of the speed. She would use that to protect her people discreetly, mirroring Esther's wisdom and working behind the scenes, you know? Mm-hmm. And also her moral compass, like Esther's, would guide her, to take bold actions for the greater good. And even when the risks are high, she would, you know, basically use her moral compass like Esther to guide her to take those actions for good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being guided by God. And also Superwoman, just like Esther, if she was in the Bible, she would rely not just on the physical strength, but the diplomacy and strategy and faith, as Esther did, to sway the king, you know, to be able to beat him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that story. I heard that story before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they both exemplified bravery, sacrifice, and a deep sense of purpose to protect them. Mm-hmm.
So. I remember reading about Esther. It doesn't talk about God's name or the Lord's name, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the story is written all over it. God, it's all over it. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have to mention his name. It's written all over it. And everybody would attest to that.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I like Esther because she used her position of power not for personal gain, but to advocate for and save her people, showing wisdom and compassion. Now that was an amazing woman right there. So.
Yeah, that's my sister. Peace to my sister, Esther. Yeah.
Yep, she risked her life. Yep.
That's my sister.
That's right.
Yeah. And I have I guess my third point would be King, back in the ancient time, King Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, King Nebuchadnezzar. I'm going to go to Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 27, verse 1. Maybe 1 through 6. We'll check it out. We'll see. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, back in the ancient time, come this word unto Jeremiah. The Lord said to him, thus said the Lord to Jeremiah, make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the king of Edom, and to the king of Moab, and to the king of the Amorites, and to the king of Tyrus and to the king of Zidon by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem unto Zedekiah, king of Judah, and command them to say unto their masters, thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say unto your masters. So he's telling the messengers to say to the masters, God said, I have made the earth, the man, the beast, and are upon the ground. So God made the earth, the man, and the beast that is upon the ground. And I'm reading on. It says, by my great power, God says, by my outstretched arms, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. So it's saying, and I will give it to who I want to rule this earth. I created it, the earth, and I'll give it to whoever I want. And now I have given these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, not Judah, the king of Babylon. So God is sending a message to all of the nations, and those nations I just meant, like the nations we have here, North Korea, China, Israel, Iran. These are these nations here. Tyrus, Zidon, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Edomites. So that's what he's doing in there, right there. So it says, I have made the earth, man and beast, and that are upon the ground. So by my great power and by my outstretched arm, I have given it unto who I want to give it to. Okay, and the earth I will give it to whom I want, which is Nebuchadnezzar. He's giving it to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. So he's sending this message. And the whole earth, man, beast, guess what? I'm giving it to Nebuchadnezzar. Now, was Nebuchadnezzar a righteous man? Hell no. No, he was not. Nebuchadnezzar, he was one of the basis of man that I was talking about before, that God gave the earth to him to rule. The same way how today he's giving it to Trump. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 21 and 1. It says that the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. So the Bible say that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And that's why you have to understand the king's mind is in the hand of the Lord, what I read before. So as the river of the water, he turned it and give it to whoever so he will. So what is it that God wants Trump to do? Here are some examples that God wants Trump to do. In Jeremiah 27, okay, we just read that, not that one. Here we go right here. America, we're going to go with, let's go to my second point, Netanyahu. Netanyahu is the prime minister of Israel. So if you didn't know it, America and the land of Israel is despised. I don't know if you know about it now, but Trump is a Mayor Netanyahu supporter with the Greater Israel Plan. Have you ever heard of the Greater Israel Plan? Well, let me tell you about it. It's been in the news. You just have to, you know, they probably took it away. But the Greater Israel Plan is the land you see that the Bible scriptures that the Bible scriptures talk about, that's always in the news. They talk about it all the time. You hear it, Lebanon, part of Syria, part of Saudi Arabia. All of that landmass is the Greater Israel Project. And it's Netanyahu and Trump want to reclaim all of that land. So guess what? Guess what they got to do? They have to get rid of all the people that's on that land. This is news that's out. You can look this up. They got to get rid of all the people that's on this land. That's why They destroyed almost every building in Gaza. There is no living place in Gaza anymore. And Trump supported that. So what Trump did, he signed a law making the Jewish people no longer a religion. No longer the Jewish people is religion, but it's an ethnicity. So we are looking at the image. See, we look at these presidents and we look at the images of the president. That is not what God is looking at. God is looking at whoever sits in the seat. God is in control of these people. There is a demonic spirit in that seat that's going to do exactly what God wants them to do. Here's God's counsel concerning America, NATO. This is what the Bible says. Revelation chapter 17, verse 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the harlot. In the book of Obadiah, it mentions God saying, though I greatly despise. So that's talking about they despise the harlot. But it's also going to detail in the book of Obadiah. And so so it mentions that God saying, though I greatly despise, so NATO and the EU will hate America. They will hate America. Now, did Europe and NATO hate America when President Biden and Vice President Harris was in office, was in charge? No. But Trump is coming into power now. So guess what? It's creating an atmosphere where Europe is nervous. Okay, so let me read on. 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, the 10 horns are the Europe and the NATO and the EU. So these shall hate the harlot. They are going to hate America because of American policies. And this is the era that we are living in now, Trump's era. Now they are going to hate America and they're going to have a reaction to it. So it says also, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So according to the prophecy in Revelation, NATO, Europe is going to burn America with fire. That is the prophecy, because eventually America is going to separate from NATO, and NATO will go to war with America in the future. If not now, or it could be with a different president, but the Revelation prophecies still says that it's going to happen. So it may not happen now, but all the kingdoms from prior or from antiquity went down in destruction. So this nation here doesn't mean that it won't go down either. You know, it's always a changing of the guards. It may not be now, but, you know, in the future, you know, we might not be living, but, you know, you can bet it's going to happen in the Bible. Let's talk about, what I got now. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't a righteous man. We know that. And he wasn't a righteous man. Hell no, he was not. He came and enslaved us. He took our manhood by making us eunuchs. But God said, yo, that's my anointed. I'm going to be using this dude. So God can use everybody who sits in that seat. He used him. He said that that's his anointed. And you know, that's powerful words right there, anointed. So, you know, so he used him. So that's the lowest of man. That's the basis of man. He can use him any way he feel that he can use him. Yep.
All right. Those are all your Bible comparisons, huh? With the modern day people. I guess you use the modern day presidents and politicians to compare with the people of the Bible.
Yes. Yep. I got the Netanyahu. Yeah, I did. And I got more, but we probably running out of time.
Yeah. Also, I know we talked about this last episode about the UFOs and the UAP, the unidentified aerial phenomenon. That's what the UAP mean. It's a lot of that been going on this week, and it's a lot of that in the news, and they seen a bunch of those flying over the skies and different places at airports and in DC and Arizona and everywhere. They just popping up everywhere. So right now that's a big topic. It's something to talk about. And I just want to say that I was able to see close-up photos and images of and UAPs this week. It's just amping up. It's like becoming more and more of a thing every single day now. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen by the time we record our last episode, because this is episode 19. So 20 is our last one for this season. So we're one away. I just like to say that I'm very happy that we were able to make it through another season of the Empowerment Blueprint podcast, but excited to see what's going to happen these coming up weeks and months with all this UFO and UAP sightings going on in the world. There's a lot going on right now.
Yep. I wanted to mention one thing I almost forgot, since we got a little time. Cyrus the Great. That's another king back in the day. God called Cyrus the Great and Nebuchadnezzar, but he called Cyrus the Great the Anointed also. And Cyrus the Great founded the Persian Empire in 550 BC and ruled it until his death. And Persia is Iran. So the kingdom was an Iranian empire founded by Cyrus the Great. And it's in Iran. I just want to mention that before I forget. And the president of Iran, I forgot his name. It's a long one. I looked it up.
Right, because we do have 14 minutes left. Any last words?
I got some more stuff.
Go towards that direction.
Yeah, I got some more stuff. let's see. Have we heard of the what is it? Agenda 47? Have you heard of that, Doc?
I don't know. I think
you was telling me about it, some of it about it. Yeah. Agenda 47. Some of the things that
you're talking about the Project 2025. That's what you're talking about.
Well, it says Agenda 47. We'll see. I got the by number.
So I think that's about the same thing, Agenda 47.
I think so. Probably the same thing. It says that some of the things that Trump's... Oh, this is some of the things that Trump is going to rule out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number one is he's going to carry out the largest domestic deportation in history. See, he said this is what he's going to do if you become president. And I just want to make a note because I heard it, and we just want to make sure that nobody has amnesia on it, you know?
Okay, so basically the Agenda 47 and the Project 2025 is share many themes and policies. So including the expanding presidential powers, such as through the reissuing of the Schedule F cuts to the Department of Education, mass deportations of illegal immigrants, and the death penalty for drug dealers, and using the U.S. National Guard in liberal cities with high crime. So it's
right.
Like I said, I figured it was probably Agenda 47, since that's I know it. That's the 47th president. It had to be similar and share many things that the Project 2025.
Right. It does, you're right. Yeah. So it says it's going to carry out mass deportations to domestic, you know, folks and deport them. That's something you should know, but a lot of people probably know it. Another thing, death sentences. You said that death sentences for anyone smuggling human trafficking. Another one is closed department. You told me about that.
That closed was
closed department death, of education.
Death penalty for drug dealers. And then it didn't say close it. It said cuts to the Department of Education. That don't mean it's going to be shut down.
And give it to the state or something. Or let the state control it like that. Something like that.
No, that's not what
he said. Close. He said cut the department.
No.
And
cuts mean that some departments, some portions of the Department of Education will be cut, not the Department of Education be shut down, cuts to it. So some sections will be removed or some parts of it will be removed. That's what that says.
Okay, it's good to keep an eye on that. He might change it. Because mm-hmm. this one says close or cut it and have the states take control of it, something like that.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
Right, of course. But this is what he, the basis of man saying, you know. He's not president yet, but he said before, he said this is what he's going to do so you can vote for him so he can become president. Mm-hmm. And number four, he said, criminalize race-based advances. No, it says, what? Get rid of race-based advances program. He already got rid of affirmative action. So if any other thing else race-based, he'll get rid of that. What else he said get rid of? Get the National Guard to patrol woke cities. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Self-explanatory?
Mm-hmm.
All right, then it says he's going to strengthen the immunity for police officers, make them stronger or, you know, crime-free or whatever. And another one he said is every European country must pay for protection. He said that. You know, a lot of stuff come out of Trump's mouth. Okay, then he said he's going to end the Affordable Care Act. And he's going to race-based and advances program. That's the civil rights program. All this stuff we fought for, he's going to end that. It says, no more birth control pills. No more morning, day, after pills. Free. He said you're going to have, he said they were free. Now you got to pay for them. So it's going to be there, but you got to pay for them. He said that. And what else? That's some case. That's all I got right now.
All right. I do.
Oh, he said he's going to pardon all of the January 6ers. He's going to pardon them, and he's going to investigate the people who put them behind bars. And then he said he'll be able to change things. Well, he will, because they're in charge of the Senate and the House. And you know how things go through the Senate and the House. They'll get changed, you know, because they're going to be in control of all of it, the Senate and the House. The Republicans are. But and then he said that he's going to get rid of the morning after pill, but he's going to keep Viagra. And yeah, that's all I was saying. The stuff right there. What else?
That morning after pill actually helped people.
I know. He said he's gonna get rid of it.
Yeah, and the state.
No, not get rid of it. He's gonna make you pay for it. Pay for it. You can get it, but you gotta
pay for it.
Well, he said that it was given out free. It ain't gonna be free no more. That's what he's saying.
People have to pay for it now.
Oh, that's all right then.
He said you go get that Walgreens or something like that, or CVS. You know, you can get it there.
Okay.
Just that some states ban abortion, so. They don't have them in those states.
Right.
So people can leave that state that banned abortion and go to another state that have it and purchase it. You see what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah.
That's why they're probably trying to stop it.
Right.
Rid of it in all states, then somebody can't leave their state, which is illegal, has a law for illegal abortions or, you know, no legal abortions permitted. They can't go to another state and get the pill.
Right. That's what he said he's going to do.
I can't wait to see what happened in the next weeks to come up. I mean, we're about to be in December, and then after that, January is when we'll have the transition of the new administration. So I'm excited to see what happens in 2025.
Right. And when he was president before, you know, I'm just talking what's in the news anyway. He didn't make a wall. So
they put money up and they worked on the wall.
They did?
Yeah, but, they did. But did it get finished? That's the thing. Did they finish the wall? Nope, right. The wall didn't get finished.
Right. So there's a lot of things ain't gonna be finished. You know, I mean, he can't get rid of the Credit Care Act, you know. Oh no, he can. Oh, he says he's gonna get rid of turn over the homosexual thing.
They're gonna do a lot of things.
You can't do that.
You can't just shut down whole departments overnight. No, they talking about messing with the FBI and everything. You can't do nothing.
You can't do all that, man. You can't turn back homosexuals.
Can't just wipe out a whole department of people overnight.
Right.
It's a law against that. Federal law against that.
So that's what God's saying. That the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, you know, for his purpose. And to me, Revelation.
They're talking about getting rid of the IRS and all kind of stuff. You can't do that.
Right, right.
You can't one day have the IRS and then the next day it's gone.
Right. And also.
It's a process. It's laws against stuff like that. You know that.
Right. Also, he want to take America out of NATO. Because NATO, America has the most money. So we have the most financial backing. So he's saying he want to, like, you know, get out of NATO, you know. And the Europeans, you know, and everybody, they like Biden and Kamala. They like Biden, you know, but they don't like Trump all that much because of things he's going to do. Because you notice we didn't have a lot of pushback from Europe when Biden and Kamala was in charge. I'm not taking up for him. I'm just saying Bible prophecy, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I do have a Bible verse for my last words because we have about 5 minutes left before we close. So.
Okay.
Did you have any last words before I read my Bible verse?
No, I guess that's about it.
Okay, well, let me read. It's going to be Matthew 25th chapter, 31st through 46th verse. And it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left.
Yep.
Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. And when I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. That's it.
Hallelujah.
I got one more. It's Ecclesiastes, 3rd chapter, 8th verse. And it says, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
Yep.
It goes with the topic for the night. So connected with the foundation that you were speaking about.
Right. God's counsel will stand.
Exactly.
No matter who he uses it for his purpose only. King Herod, he spoke when he was in charge, he spoke like a god. And King Herod killed Jesus' brother, James. But he tried to kill Peter, but he couldn't kill Peter. He was mad about that. But God didn't kill King Herod for killing James. They said that King Herod sounded like a god. He'd be like, oh, like the Wizard of Oz, right? So the people talked about it. They said, this dude here, he think he sounds like a god. So what happened was, God smoked this asset. Killed him. God killed him for acting like a god. Not for killing Jesus' brother James, but for acting like a god. He sounded like, I'm the wizard, great wizard, like that. The people are like, this dude crazy. He think he's a god. And so God smoked him for that. Killed him. King Herod.
Yep. Well, don't be thinking you God and walking around like you God. You ain't.
You're going to get smoked.
See, people nowadays, I see them online and on social media talking about, oh, this person thinks they better than this person, and oh, this person and forgot who they is and where they came from and all that. As soon as that happens, as soon as you think you God, as soon as you think you better than or above, you will be humbled. You will be humbled very, very fastly, because nowadays, karma sometimes is instant.
Yeah, like Pharaoh.
So never pretend and never play like you all holy and all this and all that, you know? Ain't nobody perfect.
Exactly.
God didn't make us to be perfect.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All right. So anything else before we close out?
No, that's about it. Great session. That's about it, man. I hope everybody got some news that you can use.
Yep. And I just want to say, like always, continue seeking knowledge and growth in your own personal lives, and make sure you're doing your research. Make sure you're doing your research. Make sure you're doing your research. And we would like to thank our sponsor, Brian Bright Consulting, for their continued support. And this brings us to the end of our 19th enlightening episode of the Empowerment Blueprint Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our discussion on the Bible heroes and their modern day counterparts, and the lessons from the biblical characters for today's leaders and influencers. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to contact us. Provide your contact information so we can get back at you. Don't forget to check out our social media handles and our website. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback means the world to us, and it helps us to continue bringing you valuable content. I want to say thank you again for listening. Thank you for everyone that reaches out to us to support us. We appreciate your support, and we can't wait to bring you more amazing episodes. Until next time, keep chasing your dreams and living your best life.
Good night, everybody.
Boom.